The polytheism wasn't simply saying that I worship this god and you worship that god. This is a way to plug into the power of the natural world. Israel's God famously made everything in the natural world, and so the only appeal that one had to make was the appeal that you would make to God, the God who created everything.
The Bible is full of stories that we all know and love. But how well do we know them? The answer might surprise you. The Bible you thought you knew is going to dive deep into the exquisite details of the biblical stories that make them fascinating and transforming.
In this week's podcast, we are going to do a question and answer series, or a question and answer episode, I should say. The first question, was Israel monotheistic, that is, believed only in one God? Of course, that depends on what you mean by monotheism. Do you mean only one God philosophically, as in there are no other deities at all that exist, or a different kind of monotheism in which only one God is effective, even though many gods are acknowledged? Monotheism in the ancient world was a radical innovation, and this is an innovation that is credited to Israel. The ancient world generally was polytheistic. There were gods all over the place by numerous names. The ancient Near East particularly was a polytheistic world. So in that sense, Israel was unique, even with fooling around with the belief in only one God. Of course, the idea of monotheism had to evolve. Monotheism had a growth pattern. Much of it cannot be cited in terms of history, but there was evolution. It developed over time, incrementally, and depending on the development, that would involve other kinds of intellectual constructs. Probably it's fair to say, answer the question this way. Israel was indeed monotheistic. They at least believed that only their God was able to act. Only their God had existence in that sense. At the same time, monotheism was a minority viewpoint in Israel. Most of the time, we do not know what an individual Israelite believed. But the main characters that we read about in the Bible were primarily, interestingly, polytheistic. How do we know this? Well, the biblical narratives themselves. Every biblical narrative we have accuses Israel of being idolatrous, at least, or following after other gods, at most. Following other gods, of course, always involves a rejection of monotheism and an embrace of polytheism. The biblical narratives tell us that. They tell us that in the book of Exodus. They tell us about that in the book of Numbers. It tells about that in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Even in Joshua, Joshua has to encourage the people to follow only one God, choose only one Lord. The book of Judges is replete with examples of venturing into or following polytheistic leads. The same is with the prophetic material. The prophets from front to back, from top to bottom, accuse Israel of abandoning its belief in one God. Sometimes they would include their own God with a pantheon of with other gods. That was not acceptable to the Israelite God. Famously, this God was a jealous God and could brook no rivals. Now, in the Second Temple period, so-called, the Second Temple period, that's the period after the exile and the when the destroyed temple was being rebuilt in the 4th and the 3rd centuries, that Jewish religious expression was primarily monotheistic. By then, the polytheism had either become a fringe belief or it involved people who had abandoned Israelite faith altogether. Of course, in this period, because of the growing strength of monotheism, that led to other problems. And here's the problem. If God is good and loving, and that God is the only God in existence, how does one account for evil? Almost certainly, at some point, someone came up with the idea of a negative God, that is to say, a devil, a demon, a Satan, an adversary, who was causing people to do things that they would not otherwise do, or bringing evil into the world. And that's why the doctrine of the devil is always difficult when you're dealing with the belief in one God, because you have to explain how evil is. Now, the Bible was edited in the final form of the Bible that we now have. It was edited and shaped in such a way that monotheism was the default position of Israel, even though the same set of scriptures, the same canon, shows that in every period, polytheism and idolatry were vexing, pervasive, insistent problems. Even in the ancestral stories, we have the little story that Rebekah stole her father's household gods when they left to go to Canaan. Well, what is a monotheistic people doing with household gods? Later on, when Jacob is in the guise of a religious reformer, and he goes back to Bethel, the time that God appeared to him, he says to his extended family, put away the gods that your ancestors served when you were in Mesopotamia. Famously, Joshua says the very last thing in his last will and testament to Israel in Joshua 24, where he says, when you were in Mesopotamia, you served other gods. So clearly, their origins were not monotheistic. Monotheism was a development, something that came later, and Israel struggled with that primarily because, in historical terms, the default position was polytheism. Keep in mind that these many, many gods were manifestations of various kinds of power, most of them natural powers, and that's why there were gods that were equated with mountains, with rivers, with storms, with seas, with gnats, or mosquitoes, or frogs, or anything that could plague agriculture or plague people. Any kind of nature in excess, so to speak, could be attributed to the gods, who were very often depicted in animal form, or in bird form, or even in insect form. And so the polytheism wasn't simply saying that I worship this god and you worship that god. This is a way to plug into the power of the natural world. Israel's God famously made everything in the natural world, and so the only appeal that one had to make was the appeal that you would make to God, the God who created everything. But polytheism gave you a whole bunch of options to pray to the rain god, or to the sky god, or to the sun god, or the moon god, or the gods who were equated with stars, and that sort of thing. So it's fair to say that Israel was monotheistic. It did evolve over time. That evolution led it to deal with the whole issue of how do you account for evil. But probably, historically speaking, in the period that Israel is described as in the Bible, is probably only a minority point of view, that is, of people who are embracing monotheism. And that's simply because the prophets would not have been so bent out of shape about polytheism had it not been an ongoing problem, and an ongoing problem with a great deal of the population. The next question: is the God of the Old Testament the same as the God of the New Testament? Now, the basis of this question is quite easy. God somehow seems more angry and more judgmental in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament God seems more violent. But we need to refine the question. We need to realize that many of our accusations about the God of the Old Testament have to do with our failure to recognize the nuances and the details of textual specificity in the Old Testament. That is to say, if we knew the text better, we would at least realize that our question has nuance. Also, these questions are based on a very, very strong attempt to sanitize the New Testament. It turns out that the Old Testament God is both loving and gracious, and the New Testament God is also a God who judges. For example, people talk about texts in the Bible that talk about eternal punishment or the realm of the devils or hell or the fiery pit in the book of Revelation. None of that is in the Old Testament. The Old Testament has no developed doctrine of demonology or devils. But the New Testament does, and at some point that means that there is going to be a judgment that either God precipitates or at least allows. In the answer, the easy answer to the question, is the God of the Old Testament the same as the God of the New Testament? The easy answer is yes. Here's why. The New Testament authors universally recognized the legitimacy, authority, and truthfulness of the Jewish scriptures, which the church would eventually call the Old Testament. These authors taught that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob elected Israel and sent Israel its Messiah, or Christ, who was Jesus of Nazareth, according to the New Testament. The same New Testament authors taught that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God who elected Israel, was incarnate in its Messiah/Christ, namely Jesus of Nazareth. Keep in mind that the Hebrew word Mashiach, from which we get the word Messiah, it means anointed. The same word that means anointed in Greek is Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, it's a title. It means Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Anointed One. Also keep in mind, Jesus claimed to fulfill the Jewish scripture. This was the only Bible he knew, read from, interpreted, or believed was authoritative and true, and that Bible speaks about, over and over, from front to back, from top to bottom, about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the Father about whom Jesus spoke. This was the Father with whom Jesus claimed to be one with that deity, the same deity, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One of the differences, at least on the surface, in the depiction of God in the New Testaments is its scope. The Old Testament covers hundreds of years of God's involvement with human beings before Israel was elected and involvement with Israel after it was elected, literally hundreds and hundreds of years. The New Testament, on the other hand, covers at most about 30 or so years, 50 tops. From Jesus' birth until his death and resurrection, and one may add to this the early years of the church, say 20 or 10 years after the resurrection, but at best this only covers about 50 years. So there was a much less time for God to have narratives where God is going to judge this nation or that judge that nation afterwards. But the confession of Jesus and the confession of the New Testament authors is the same, that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are always the same God. If that were not the case, then the New Testament authors would have argued that Jesus inaugurated a brand new religion that had no ties whatsoever to its precursor in Jewish religious expression, and certainly had nothing to do with the Israelite story in the Jewish scriptures, that is, the Old Testament, or having to do with this so-called nasty, judgmental, angry, and violent God? Why would you ever argue, according to Paul, that everything God did in Christ was according to the Scriptures? And by Scriptures, Paul had in mind the Jewish Scriptures, which the church would later call the Old Testament, and you needed to call it the Old Testament once there was, in the 3rd and 4th century, an agreement on a New Testament. So those are the two questions we're going to deal with today. You can email me at fspina106@gmail.com to ask other questions, which we will deal with in another question and answer period. Also, please go to my website, fspina.com, and record your email there for me so that I can contact you when we are ready for our mini courses. Thank you. I want to thank you so very much for listening to The Bible You Thought You Knew. I have a question for you. Do you have a question or topic that you'd like me to cover on the podcast? If so, all you need to do is head over to Apple Podcasts and do two simple things. One, leave a rating and review telling me what you think of the podcast. Two, in that review, ask anything you want related to the Bible. That's all you have to do. Then, listen in to hear your question answered on a future episode. Join us next time on The Bible You Thought You Knew when we discuss Jesus' personal Bible. God bless.